God is good. He blesses us with grace and presence and peace. And Roberta has a natural gift and a grace in reading. I love to hear her read. And it just kind of illuminates itself. I thank you for the grace that you've already offered to me as I enter this place of worship with you this morning. I have, very rarely do I get together and worship with an average congregation. I gather with a prison flock every Sunday morning and over at McCain Correctional Hospital. And I spend the day there every Sunday of the year just about, except I think the last time I was out was when I was over here sharing worship with you folks. So it's a good feeling to be in a situation where we are gathered and know we are the body of Christ. I bring you witness and blessings, and thank you for allowing me to be here with you. Your smiles, your disposition, your mannerisms, your preparation speaks well of the expectation of worship and the celebration that God is bringing into our lives. Else you would not have gathered here. And for that, we all can unite and become one for just a moment in Christ and know that God is good. The story we read this morning is a classic story we're very familiar with. And if you read that story, you say, well, this man comes from the jail, and he's certainly going to give us one of those jailhouse messages. Well, I am, but I want you to look at something that's not quite so obvious in this story. It's obvious that the son was lost. It's obvious that there is another righteous one who stays home. It's obvious that there's a father who cares very much for his son. It's obvious that if you are the lost son out into the quagmire of the world, living a decadent life, flaunting all the wonderful gifts and graces that our Creator has given you, then you might need to correct yourself and turn yourself around. But I think there's a lot of things in this story that are obvious but are not spoken here. Some things that the father did not say. Some things that the lost son did not say. Some things that the righteous son who stayed home did not say. So when you look at this story, the many things we ask ourselves is, which one of these characters am I? Am I the righteous son who stays home with a long list of Sunday school attendance and worship attendance? I'm perfect in all the things I do. I'm politically correct. I'm astute. I'm responsible and respectful of my father. And I show grace to other people. Is that you? Or are you like the lost son who has drifted away, taken what is his, flaunted it, and enjoyed life for a while because you eat, drink, and be merry? Tomorrow you will die. Is that who you are? Or perhaps are you the father who is stable and strong and very patriotic and very committed and very holy and very devout? Those are easy questions, and you know the answer. But I want to turn that question around and say the reason that the lost son decided to come back home is not because he just realized his lostness. What he realized is, like you and I might realize today, we are all called to be the father. Think about it. Which one of these three characters are you called to be? That's why we came to worship today, that we might be more like the Father. Now you say, Chaplain, I hadn't thought of it quite that way, nor had I until a couple months ago when I was really looking at this story and this parable, and it jumped on me very quickly that the reason perhaps the lost son came home was not because he feared his father, not because he was tired of eating corn cobs and living in slop and muck. Some people kind of like that. You know, I'm sort of one of those persons. I like to get dirty and gringy and grimy. That's who I am. If you look at my baby pictures, you'll see that in every one of them, I drool. My hair's never in place. It's probably out of place right now. It usually is. You know, and a tie's turned crooked. And, you know, that's sort of who I am. I don't intend to be that way, but that's sort of who I am. I don't mind getting dirty. Now, I'm not telling you I want to go live in a hog pen, but I'm just telling you that's who I am. So I think for maybe a moment, the lost son didn't particularly mind where he was so much. I would like to rather think that he saw something about his father that he wanted to be like, and that's why we come to God. The way we return home is to realize that the way has been made for us to come home. I am fortunate. In my life, I have a father, a paternal father, who is my mentor. when I was about 19 or 20 years old, I finally realized, even at that early age, who I wanted to be like was to be like my father. And every once in a while, when I don't do things that my wife thinks are correct, she'll say, "Neil, you remind me of your daddy." You know, she doesn't see the positive side of it, you know, kind of a put down, but she really doesn't understand completely, that's really who I want to be. I want to be just like Shelby Frank Smith. You say, well, who in the world was Shelby Frank Smith? He was a man born down in Grace Creek, father of three children, and married a lady named Bessie Almeida Bowie. Who in the world was that? That was my mother. Well, you don't know Bessie and you don't know Shelby, but I do, and if you know me, you'll know Bessie and Shelby. And the first thing I'll tell you, if you ask me who I am, I'll say, I am Bessie and Shelby's boy and a child of God. Now, what kind of introduction is that? That's who I am. And I want to come home time and time again. No matter where I journeyed, I always wanted to come home. Because my father wasn't standing there with a shotgun and said, "Son, if you ever come back up this road again, because I'm going to kill you." My daddy didn't say that. In fact, my daddy said very little. I don't really remember my daddy saying much to me that was negative. Once in a while, he'd call me boy. That's okay. I understood what he meant. But in his silence and in his integrity, he spoke to me, and I think that's precisely how we can reflect on this story today. So if we want to find our way home, we have to have a home worth coming home to. I'm living and working in an environment today where it's increasing number of people who are coming to, quote, prison, and they don't have a home plan. They didn't come from home. They don't have a home to go back to. That's the reality of the world in which we live. A place where they feel love, because most of the people that I work with every day, you know what their father told them, or their mother, or their community, or their church, or their school? They said, "Boy, if you ever come back here again, I'll kill you." Well, if my daddy told me that, do you think I'd come home? I wouldn't come home, because my daddy don't lie. No. But here's the wonderful story, and I want us to hear the things that are not so obvious here this morning. When we look at this story, we discover there's a lot of lostness here. And we can hammer that to death and beat that to death and revive ourselves and say, "I need to be found. I once was lost, but now..." And that's wonderful. But I got a feeling here as we worship today, I'm talking to men and women and boys and girls who aren't lost. You came home today. You came with me. We gathered here at this homecoming place, this sanctuary, this place where the choir has prepared and the dedications have been made, the consecrations for what? The celebration. The fatted calf has been prepared. The feast is available. It's up to us to take that feast out into the world and do something wonderful about it. So our emphasis today is not on what is obvious, but what is not so obvious. The question for us today is a very simple question. Which one of these three are you called to be? We've heard much about each character, the lost, the righteous, but we've heard very little about the Father, or have we? I think not. The Word of God is filled with stories about the Father, the Creator, the giver of every good and perfect gift. The Word says, "In the beginning was the Word." It's about the Father. We know a lot about the Father, don't we? But wait a minute, Chaplain. You're talking to a woman. I mean, W-O-M-A-N. Woman. I'm not Father. Yes, you are. We're called to be like God. You said that this morning as you shared in a celebration in the very words of the Psalter. It says, "Yet thou hast made him little less than God." You and I are made in what? The image of God. If that's true, then our calling is to let God be our mentor. And God didn't say, "If you ever come this way again, I'll kill you." God didn't say, "If you ever come this way, I'm going to beat up on you, and I'm going to slap you around, and I'm going to destroy you, and I'm going to humiliate you." God didn't say that at all. What did God say? You know what he said. He says, "Come to me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. We are called not to be self-righteous, not to destroy our inheritance, but we are called to be the Father. To be the Father requires that we take on the message of Genesis 1:26 when it says, God said, let us make people in what image? In our image. To be like ourselves. So God created people in His own image. God patterned them after Himself. Male and female, He created them. Now that's quite a responsibility. That means that you are called to be divine. You reckon that's what the lost son heard when he was in the pig pen? You reckon he really heard the voice of his own creation, his own choice, saying, you know, I'm really called to be like my Father. He didn't talk about wealth and prosperity. That's what we read into the story. You see, we read both sides of the story. I want to read into the story something I think is more powerful, more compelling, more spiritual. God called us to emulate God. And when we leave this sanctuary today, when we go to our various places of residence and pleasure and work, how will you and I emulate the will of God? How will you and I give witness to God? I didn't say testimony. If you want a testimony for God, you come to one of my worship services. I got more men that can testify for Jesus than you can shake a stick at. Anybody can testify and make a comment about what they think or what they believe or what they thought they saw. But to give a witness, who among you can give a witness? Can walk the walk? Can speak even and remain silent? That's the call that's upon us. Perhaps the lost son out of in the world, abusing himself, disrespecting himself, destroying himself, fully decadent, perverted, insane to a point. Perhaps he came to realize just what I said, that he too was made in God's image. And he began to pick himself up. And he began to return home to a place where he knew that somebody wasn't there to abuse him, to kick him around, to destroy him, to judge him. That's why the church is so wonderful. That's why the church is filled with grace. Grace that is sufficient. That's why you and I, as men and women for God, are called to be filled with grace. What are you going to do with that truth? You see, in order to carry the good news, in order to take on that new lifestyle, we have to do some cleaning up. Well, you know, we try many times to clean ourselves up. It doesn't work very well until our heart is changed. Until you really want to change your very being, your very fiber, you just won't change. It takes something from within. But remember, God doesn't leave us alone. He says, if you'll call to me, I will leave you a counselor. Not as the world gives I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I've got enough of faith in what's said there to believe that I can't do it. But God will show me how. And with God's grace, I can return home because I have a home to return to. A home where I'm cared for, a home where I'm loved. In order to carry the good news, we need to repent. To be reconciled and to get a new beginning. Well, that takes place for me every day. There are things that I need repenting of, reconciling towards. I'm just kind of made that way. Well, some would say that this lost son was fortunate in that he knew his father. He was fortunate in that he had a good father. And some of us say, well, look, chaplain, I don't have a good father. My father kicked and beat and I never saw him. I don't even hardly know his name. That happens to me all the time where I'm at. I ask a man for a genealogy in his family, a history. I really don't know who my daddy is. I'm not sure. And that's a fact of reality. I remind them very quickly, but we know who God is. And God is the creator of us all and the giver of every good and perfect gift. And therefore we are called to look at the world not at the things that we have given, but the spirit that has been immersed in our souls. We are called to listen to that wonderful spirit that calls us home. that calls us to fill the sanctuary with worship and praise and celebration, not with gossip and destruction and death, but with holiness and peace. You see, I really don't believe in my heart all the lost son saw was the tangibles. I don't think he looked back and said, well, my daddy, he's got a big car for me to ride around in and a nice bedroom and a nice jacuzzi and shower for me to be comforted by. That's not what he saw. You got a job for me. He'll give me some retirement. I'll take the things that are mine. That's not what he saw. That's what you and I see as a worldly people looking. What he saw was the heart of a God that was willing to forgive him for the decadent and despotic behavior that had been in him. And only God forgave him for such behavior. Only God can forgive us. Well, what shall we do? What the son really wanted was the father's blessing. Many times I'll ask an inmate, I say, have you blessed your son? Have you received a blessing? What do you mean, chaplain? I ain't got no money. I ain't never had nothing. You know, I never had a job. I'm just an old drunk, an alcoholic, an old drug addict. I'm a liar, a cheat, a whoremonger. You know, I've never done anything. What do you mean blessing? I ain't never given no blessing, never got no blessing. I said, that's what we need to talk about. Have you ever wrote a letter home to your mother and said, Mama, I love you, I care for you. Don't come see me this week because all's fine. What do you mean don't come see me? I want my mama to come see me. No. Have you ever given your blessing? And say, Mama, I'm going to be all right. You know, keep your money this time. I'll do. No, what do you mean, chaplain? I need money. You know, I need cigarettes and drinks, and I need a little gambling money. That's what they need it for. I say, no, why don't you just tell your mama to take the money and go out to dinner or buy her a new dress or something. That's the blessing. To let them know that all is well with your soul. The power of the blessing. You see, that I think is truly what the lost son was hungering for, because he knew that his father was a blessing. Do you today know that your father is a blessing? The cross does not tell us anything less. God is a blessing. He loves us so much. And I promise you, when you come before the Lord Jesus Christ, God's not standing there with a shotgun. If you ever come back up the miles again, I'll kill you. That's not in the story. God doesn't say, you come here, boy, let me whip you. That's what you need, a good whipping. That's not what God says. What does God say? The cross speaks for itself. Jesus paid the price. But we still want to live with that old ideology. I need to beat somebody. I need to suffer for somebody. I need to inflict pain. You see, to receive the Father's blessing, that changes us eternally. Instead of thinking about the gold and the silver and the house and the car, we think about the peace that passes all understanding. We become new creatures in the Father's house. New creatures in Christ. This is the message of the church. St. Matthew's Church sits here today, and that is her message. Nothing less, nothing more. The water you drink from here is refreshing. The fellowship is encouraging, and the vision of heaven is abundant. For just a moment now, I want you to do something with me that's kind of dangerous. And if you're one of those personalities, you say, well, okay, come on. One of those cautious people like my wife, don't go there. You know, I want you to live on the edge just a little bit. And to do this, I want you to look at this story that was read for us and ask some what ifs real quickly. What if the father had said to his son, if you ever come back here, I'll kill you. Some fathers have told their sons that. You may be one of them. Some mothers have told their sons that. What if the father had cursed and raged and ramped and showed all kinds of insanity and got into fits of, look, boy, I'm going to give you what's yours, but I hate to do it. You know, you've seen that kind of attitude around your home from time to time, I'm sorry to say, but we have. The story doesn't tell us that. You're not old enough to know what to do with this. You're not responsible enough. You're not mature enough. You're not educated enough. It's not yours to have now. For whatever reason, the father did not do that. He gave to the son what was his. What if the father had never allowed the son to make his own choice? To choose this day who he would serve? What if the father had decided, look, righteous son, you're the one. I want you to go and search this land broad and wide and narrow and deep, and I want you to bring back your son. Whatever it takes, I want you to bring him back. Here's all the money you need to get him to get his bail. Here's a rope to tie him up with. Here's a car to bring him back. You bring him back to me. We're going to change him. We're going to save his soul. What if the father had done that? You know the father did. The toughest thing we've ever done as parents is to let our people go. You will cry. You will ache. You will suffer. It's tough. But we have a God who knows where your sons and your daughters are this very moment. What kind of blessing are you giving to them? What kind of church have we shown them in their journey so that no matter where we go, no matter how far we roam, we have the safe arms of God to return home to? We have to make that decision for ourselves. Well, Chaplain, you don't understand. You need to do something for him right now to make him change. I can't make nobody change. I can't even make myself change. But I can ask God to come in. And the miracle takes place. What if the son, while he was out there wandering around, said, look, boy, my pockets are empty. I run out of money. So you know what I'll do? I know how to gamble. Give me a deck of cards. You got $5. I'll open up a casino. I'm going to make me some money. My daddy's turned his head against me, but I know how to get rich quick, and I'm going to do it. He didn't do that, did he? This will get you real good. What if the son out there in the slot pen decided, well, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to start me a great old big lottery so everybody can be a millionaire, because the thing I need more than anything else right now is money. If I had money, I could make things right. I could turn education around. I could change everything, but you can't change values because you're talking about the spirit of man. Chaplain, you gone to melon on that one, didn't you? Well, I did. Because I know for a fact, the story doesn't tell me the lost son decided to open up a casino. It doesn't tell me that he started a lottery. It doesn't tell me that he started a get-quick-rich kind of scheme out there so he could get rid of all of his problems. What it tells me is that he had so much love for his father. He decided he wanted to come home. And until you have so much love for God, your father, nothing in your life will change. You'll be miserable till hell consumes you up. And that's a choice we all have to make. I can't change my son. I can't change my daughter. I can't change my wife, my brothers, or my sisters. I'm responsible for Neil. And I'm thankful that my God is so attractive to me that I desire nothing less than the full blessing of his holiness. But what is it that the father had that made him so attractive? What in the world does God have that makes us want to come and sit down at his feet and be a part of his presence? What is it? Tell me, Chaplain, what is it? You know. What is it? His compassion. Now the father isn't sympathetic. Boy, I told you so. Come walking up the doorway. I told him, you know, here he comes, that dummy. Told him that you're welcome back home. I was right all along. You was wrong. He didn't judge him. What he showed was compassion. Because it took a humble heart. And the humble heart was nurtured by the grace of a loving father. What is compassion, you say? Well, that's not hard. It's hard to find it anymore. What compassion is, it's directly opposite of hate. You ought to know about hate because we do a good job teaching people how to hate. We hate people because their skin is a different shade. I loved your story. add to that story this. We're all the same color. We're caramel color. Some are dark, some are light. We're all sweet. That's the way I deal with it. We're all the same color. Then you start pulling up the leg and see them suntans. We're all sweet in God's eyes. All sweet. And until we see that, we will chunk rocks and stones and we'll divide and we'll destroy. But God doesn't change. Why? Because the Word says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, very quickly, look at the humility of the Son. The one that's out in the wilderness, the one that's lost, the one that's kind of eat, drink, and be merry, the happy-go-lucky kind of guy. You know him. Might be you. He came home because His Father was one of compassion. You see, it seems like a long time since we've come home to God. But in the reality of time, it's just the twinkling of an eye. I know people who have waited generations and generations, and some will never see it, but I've seen their sons make a change in their daughters. And in the realm of the scheme of things, it's just the twinkling of an eye. You know that. For those who love the dearest, when they finally come home, then they've been gone 20 years or 20 minutes or 40 years. But when they come home and you embrace them, all that time is just dissipated. It resolves. It's just a twinkle of an eye. Isn't that the wonderful gift of love? What can we do here now? How can we go? We can go with a fresh conviction. The question for each one of us is, which one of the three are you called to be? The answer is clear. The truth and live the truth. You have to know from whence your help comes, and that help doesn't come from your pocketbook or from your influence or from your politics or from your economics or from good luck or from chance or from destiny. It comes from God. And He's none of those that I mentioned. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The 32nd verse of that chapter says, it was right that we should make merry. What do you mean? Have a good time? That's what it said. That's why I felt so good when I came in the door. The men this morning were smiling and just kind of doing what men do, passing that nonsense among each other. Men are worse than women, you know. But you do it, and I'm glad you're here, and your children, your choir was singing. I felt warmed. I feel warm today. Because I felt at home. I didn't feel like nobody was standing at the door out there with a big old shotgun. Boy, if you come up that step, I'm kidding. I didn't feel that at all. I didn't feel like somebody said, no, he's a little different. We need to send him over in the corner if we find out. Look at his skin and see what he looks like. See if he's got any of those kind of things on that crawl off of him and get on to me. I'm not sure I want him to be around me. Well, I did put my jacket on. Some of you did, but most of you aren't. I got a tie on because I knew you'd have a tie on. And I didn't come like I've been working my cows all day. I just had enough respect for you and the church not to do that. And enough of fear of my wife. You know, she wouldn't have seen to it. But here we are. The church is called. The church is gathered. Why? To do just what it says. To make merry and to be glad. For your brother was dead and he's alive again, and was lost and is found. We are never to forget the lost. We're always to give an invitation to come home. But when we invite people to come home, what kind of home are you inviting them to? If we invite them to the Father's house, there will be peace, joy, kindness. We will drink water from the living well that will renew our strength and cause us to mount up with wings like eagles and know that we are alive again and again and again. Shall we pray? to the God of grace and glory. We hear your word today. We thank you that we're all called home. And as we find our way home from time to time, we do so with eagerness, knowing that the Father is there to welcome us, to embrace us, to challenge us, to help us deal with our own consequences, and to cause us to be the church. In his holy name we pray. Amen.